Hey, Charleston, you guys have questions and I have those answers coming up next.
It's time to chart a course to the promised land of financial freedom.
And y'all, setting clear retirement goals is a focus.
This is the Prosperity Playbook with Nicole Gibbs.
Let's talk about the green flags.
Helping you raise your money and your life to a higher standard.
And welcome to Prosperity Playbook with our host, Nicole Gibbs. I'm your co-host, Tony Shore, and I'm excited about today's show because we have a financial Q&A. We're going to be answering your financial questions right here on the show. And by we, I mean Nicole. I'm not answering your financial questions. I'm going to help ask them. And Nicole has the answers. And Nicole, you've been doing this a while. But before we get into your questions, really quick, Nicole, how have you been? You've been moving. You've been busy.
Yes.
You've been landing some new accounts, meeting
yes.
with clients and prospects. You make me tired just thinking about your schedule.
Oh my gosh. So, you know, you got to be careful what you pray for. Okay. Because when it comes, you better be ready. You know what I'm saying? You got to be ready when it comes. So I'm in Atlanta this week, but next week I will be in Charleston because I have office space there and I have some appointments and some people that I'll be meeting over the next couple weeks. So
nice.
Be in Charleston. And then I have a couple contracts I'll be working. So I'm super excited about that. But yeah, I'm just here. You know, it's hard out here for a pimp, Tony.
Yeah, you got to work. You're working it hard. And I love that. You keep so busy and you just, you know, between the personal life and work, life gets busy for all of us, doesn't it?
It does. And then summer, you know, summer is the season where everything heats up. You know, this is
yes.
the time where, you know, you got to get it in. You got to make sure you store up and you get yourself ready because guess what comes after summer? Fall and then winter.
Yep,
so you
exactly.
have to be ready. You got to be ready. So
yeah, you got to be ready for that humidity too. Speaking of the weather, yikes. That's the only thing I don't like about summer in Georgia is the humidity.
Oh gosh, it's so hot. And in Charleston, the humidity is really bad because, you know, we're by the water.
Yes,
so
it's even worse in Charleston, isn't it?
And, oh my God.
Yeah.
But Kiowa Beach cures that problem. So that's
yeah, the beach. You got the beach right there. So that's the solution to you. If you get too hot and want to cool down, you head to the beach.
Go to the beach. Way better than the pool, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, every time, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with you there. So, Nicole, this is it is a great time of year. I do like the summer. I don't like the heat. Fall is my favorite season, and we'll talk about that more once we get there. We got to get through summer first. I'm jumping ahead.
Summer ain't even here yet. Summer doesn't come until June 21st, my youngest son's birthday. So,
That's right. On the day of summer, right?
On the day of summer. So summer isn't even here yet and it's already hot.
So I'll tell you what, Nicole, I'm excited to... You know, listeners out there, if you have questions, let Nicole know. We'll give out the information where you can contact Nicole. And if you have something you want us to talk about on the show, let us know. And we'll try to work it in. We'll try to ask your questions on the show and answer them. Nicole will answer them. Now, try to keep them financially related. I mean, we get some crazy ones. Why do chickens hate snowblowers? First of all, it's a crazy question for someone in Atlanta, Georgia to ask. I don't know why.
I don't know how to answer that one.
Check with Google on that one. Yeah, you might want to let AI answer some of those questions, but not serious financial questions. You want to talk to a trusted financial services professional. Mm-hmm. And we should probably dig into the questions. I know that it's been... a while. This will be my first question and answer show with you.
Really? Yes, it is. Let's have some fun with it, Tony.
I love that. Well, here's the first question. There's a 55-year-old, changed jobs multiple times, has about $400,000 saved up for retirement. That's across four 401k accounts and wants to consolidate them.
They're unsure if they should move everything into one IRA or into their new employer's 401k. They're not quite ready to retire yet. They just moved jobs. What? And I actually was in this situation myself. I had three 401ks. I made that bad mistake of not, you know, never leave a 401k, but I had three and I moved to a new employer. What should they do? And what should the factors should they consider in consolidating?
That's a very, very, very good question. A lot of Gen X and baby boomers are retiring by the busload, right? Right. So I think it's super important that this was one of the first questions that we started with, because literally last year, a 60-year-old, he had about $400,000 in a 401k. And what I did with that was roll it into a annuity. A deferred annuity. He got $100,000. So he actually did $610,000 altogether, because when it comes to suitability, the carriers, they don't want to take all your money. They want to make sure that you're liquid enough to whereas if something happens, you're not dipping into the money, and the money can grow as projected or as illustrated.
Sure. So you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket.
You don't want to put
never tell everybody, put everything you have saved for retirement in one thing.
No, and he doesn't. He has a high yield savings account. He has an annuity. He has a 401k. So his portfolio is pretty diverse. But you should absolutely consolidate those four accounts. But rolling them into your new employer's 401k might be the smarter move right now because of a powerful IRS loophole called the Rule of 55. Have you heard of the Rule of 55, Tony?
Yes, I have heard of the Rule of 55. Yep.
So for those who have not, the Rule of 55 basically says if you roll all $400,000 into a traditional IRA, the IRS rules say you cannot touch that money penalty free until you're 59 and a half. But if you roll it into your current employer's 401k, you unlock the Rule of 55. And this rule basically states that if you leave your current job in or after the year you turn 55, you can withdraw from that specific 401k without the 10% early withdrawal penalty. Moving it to the new 401k could give you access to your cash nearly 5 years early. So that's the little, see, I think it's important that you speak with a licensed, trained individual when you're dealing with your funds and not trying to do things on your own or trying to talk to your HR, because they really don't know some of the caveats and some of the little loopholes.
And strategies. Right? Yeah. The Rule of 55 can really be of a help there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you're leaving an employer and you're 55 and older, you can bypass that 59 and a half penalty, tax penalty, right?
Absolutely. And when you're thinking about rolling money over, the first thing you want to do is whichever route you choose, never let your old employer make the check payable to you. Because if they do, the IRS requires them to withhold 20% for taxes. So always request a direct rollover institution to institution. That way the money isn't coming to you and it can't be taxed and it could continue to grow tax free. So your entire $400,000 arrives safely without triggering a surprise tax bill. Another thing is you investment options versus convenience. You got to think about that too. A 401k limits you to a small menu of mutual funds chosen by your employer. So remember that. An IRA gives you the entire universe of investments, individual stocks, bonds, ETFs, and even annuities. My jam. Annuities is my jam. So you have to weigh the early access of the 401k against the ultimate investment freedom of an IRA. So that's basically what I would say as far as that's concerned. The prosperity bottom line is this. At 55, consolidation isn't just about cleaning up paperwork. It's about timing. If early retirement is a possibility, funneling that $400,000 into your new 401k creates a penalty-free bridge to age 59 and a half that an IRA simply cannot offer. So you have to remember that. Don't let your old money get trapped by new rules. That's
there
the
you go.
Story.
I like that. Don't let your old money get trapped by new rules. Good one.
Right.
Well, let's go right into the next question, because this is one I don't have to worry about this one. And a lot of people might not, because they don't have the pension option. But a friend of mine has recently come up on this. But we had a question. They had been offered an annuity option with their pension plan. But they're given the choice of taking a lump sum or choosing that lifetime monthly payment, which is what an annuity is, lifetime monthly payments. That's what a pension is. But if they offer a buyout or to give you a lump sum or lifetime monthly payments, how do you decide which option is best to meet their retirement needs?
So how old is the friend? Do we know how old the friend is or no?
He was younger than he was probably 58.
Okay. Okay.
59. Not quite 59 and a half, but close. Yeah.
That 59 and a half rule. I don't know where they made that rule. Why did that rule? How did that? I'm going to do
a half year. First of all, only 5 year olds celebrate half birthdays.
Exactly.
So the half doesn't, if we're talking about ages, no adult celebrates half birthdays. Like, so leave it to the government, 59 and a half.
Where did that come from? Where, what is the basis of, okay, 59 and a half, then you can have access to your money. Like, I don't know, but.
Cause it's not even close to the age most people retire. I mean, why wouldn't you make it 60? True. I think somebody wanted to make it 58. Somebody wanted to make it 60 and they compromised or 59. And one said 59, you know, the Democrats said 59, the Republicans said 60 or vice versa. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we ended up with 59 and a half, which is ridiculous. Just complicates the math.
Tony, that makes the most sense. And I bet you if I research this, that's probably that's not what it's going to say, but that makes the most
sense
logically, you know. Yeah. But taking the lump sum usually gives you the most control over your legacy and growth. Choosing the annuity might be the better play if you need guaranteed sleep at night income that you can never outlive. But the thing about this is one size doesn't fit all. So this is me being ambiguous and kind of just giving you my perspective. So when you think about the inflation trap of an annuity, the monthly annuity feels incredibly safe because it acts just like your old work paycheck. There is a catch though. Most private pensions in 2026 do not offer a COLA, which is a cost of living adjustment. If you are offered $3,000 a month today, you will get exactly $3,000 a month in 20 years. With inflation, that same payment will buy significantly less at the grocery store by the time you are 80. So you have to think about that. The other thing that you want to think about, the total control of a lump sum. If you take the lump sum, you can use a direct rollover to move that money into your own IRA without triggering a massive tax bill. This gives you the control to invest it, allowing your money to grow and outpace inflation. Most importantly, Tony, it protects your legacy. So if you pass away, whatever is left in your IRA goes directly to your kids. With most pension annuities, the payments stop when you and your spouse pass away, leaving nothing for your heirs. Mm. So, and remember, we always talk about the beneficiary thing where it doesn't matter what's on that will. It doesn't matter what's in that information as far as directions go. Whatever is on the beneficiary line is what the bank is going to do. So always remember that. There is a hybrid strategy, though, that I want to talk about.
Okay.
What if you want the best of both worlds? Many retirees take the lump sum, roll it into an IRA, and then use a portion of it to purchase their own fixed index annuity on the open private market. That's me, or with a broker. This allows you to build your own guaranteed monthly income stream that could include inflation protection and survivor benefits while keeping the rest of the money invested for flexible growth. I think that's the good option. The prosperity bottom line is this: your pension choice depends entirely on whether you prioritize income security or wealth control. If you already have enough saved to beat inflation, the annuity is a great safety net. If you want to leave an inheritance or control your investments, the lump sum is the clear winner. Don't make a permanent decision on a temporary emotion. Once you sign that pension paperwork, you can never change your mind.
Yeah, it's you've locked it in then. And I would not make that decision without working with somebody like yourself, Nicole.
Yeah.
Financial professional who's going to be there to look at all the options and look at your personal situation. Everybody's Absolutely. Situation is different, right?
Yes. And on top of that, you know, I think that it's important for people to know that there is a 30-day look period. I had a guy, really quick story. He had an NIL deal and he had got all this money and I put him in an IUL, which is an index universal life policy. Sure, and sure. He's only like 22 years old. And we put him in there and, you know, I did some other things with him as well, sure. But I couldn't put him in an annuity. So the next best thing was the IUL, right?
Yeah.
So after he looked at the paperwork and everything, he didn't like the deal because sometimes you just don't. You just feel like, especially yeah. when you're young like that, you're like, I don't want to have to, you know, some people, they just don't understand the value of certain things until it's too late. And he decided against it. And I was okay with that because he's done. We continue to do business. He just didn't want to do that right sure. now.
Yeah.
And within 30 days, he was going to be paying $2,500 a month for like 7 years. It was like a 7-pay where he'll pay for 7 years and then the money would just continue to grow. And, you know, he'd have access tax free and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
But 30-day look period allowed him to be able to look at it and see that it was something that he didn't want. And he decided against it. We canceled on, I believe, March 11th. His refund was sent to him March 17th. So you do have a 30-day look window. Always remember that. If you
decide that's really helpful.
Yeah. And you're like, I don't know yet. I'm not ready for that. So, yeah.
That's good. That's good. And it's good. Some things are locked in, like when you make that decision on lump sum or annuity payout, and some things like the IUL, Index Universal Life, there is a 30-day window look mm-hmm. back where you can say, hey, no, this isn't right. I'd rather do something else with this. So that's good to know. Now, the next question mm-hmm. I have for you. And that some folks out there wanted to ask you about. There's a 65-year-old, says they have a large municipal bond portfolio, and they want to leave tax-free income to their heirs. They're considering placing those bonds in a trust, but are concerned about the complexity of that or the cost of that. Mm-hmm. How should they structure a bond-focused trust for a tax-efficient inheritance? And this gets a little more in the weeds.
This is complex. And I think that you should ask AI. I'm just playing.
No, don't do that. Because it's different for every situation, right?
Totally different. So listen, you can absolutely use a trust to leave tax-free income to your heirs. But if your main goal is to avoid high costs and complexity, a revocable living trust or a simple transfer on death designation might be all you need. So what does that mean? Let's talk through that. Municipal bonds are one of the best assets to leave behind because their tax-free superpower survives the transfer. So let's talk about structuring your legacy without overcomplicating your life. Let's talk about the pass-through rule first. The IRS has a special rule for trusts. Income keeps its original character, quote unquote. So if your trust earns tax-free municipal bond interest, it passes that exact same tax-free status directly to your heirs. So that means they won't pay federal income tax on those monthly or semi-annual interest checks, no matter how much they earn at their jobs. So that's the first thing. The next thing is the income-only guardrail. If your goal is to provide your heirs with an ongoing stream of tax-free income without letting them cash out the principal, you can set up a simple trust. This mandates that the trustee distributes the bond interest to the heirs every year, but protects the actual bonds from being sold for a sports car or lost in a lawsuit or something. In 2026, trust hit the highest 37% tax bracket at just $16,000 of income. But because your municipal bonds are tax exempt, they are perfectly shielded from those brutal tax rates. The last thing I want you to think about is the cost-free alternative, which is the transfer on death, TOD. That's the acronym. If you trust your heirs to handle the money responsibly and just want to avoid probate courts and legal fees, you might not need a trust at all. By adding a TOD or a transfer on death designation to your brokerage account, the entire municipal bond portfolio instantly transfers to your heirs when you pass away, bypassing probate entirely for zero cost. The Prosperity bottom line is this, Tony. A trust is a tool for control, not just taxes. So if you want to control how the money is spent after you're gone, a structured trust is worth the legal fee. If you just want a smooth, tax-free handoff, then a TOD designation is the simplest, cheapest playbook available. Don't let the fear of complexity stop you from protecting your legacy.
Right, exactly. Because you can get lost in the weeds, which is where you come in, Nicole. So I encourage once again, our listeners, give you a call. I'm glad you walked us through some of that because it can get confusing and people... Yes. You don't want to leave your loved ones with a tax burden or a ticking tax time bomb with some of these accounts. Or if you have money that is specifically, you know, you're going to have it to leave to your children. You might want to make sure it's structured or in something that will do that efficiently. Sometimes that's cash value. Life insurance is the best answer for that. Yes. Sometimes there are other things, Roth IRAs. So talk to somebody like Nicole first. That is huge. Looks like we have one more question to talk about here. I've got another question. And this is a good one. I think this is something that comes up, has come up more recently. At least I've heard some people talking about this. Nicole, I know you get people asking you about this. There's somebody in their 50s and they're interested in making what's called a backdoor Roth IRA contribution because there's a lot of strict laws and limits to what we can contribute to a Roth. But they're confused about the steps and the tax implications. If you have a larger amount that you want to contribute to a Roth, there are ways to do it. And they say, well, I can't because I don't qualify to put this money in. What should they know about that or know before proceeding?
So the backdoor Roth IRA is something we've been talking about on the show for the past, however long we've been on.
Yep.
When your income grows past the limits to make a direct Roth IRA contribution, you do not have to miss out on tax-free retirement growth. The backdoor Roth IRA is a completely legal strategy to move your money into a tax-free bucket. You just have to know the loopholes and you have to know some of the strategies or work with someone like myself to kind of help you with these type things. Before I continue, I just want to say one of my clients, Mrs. Yarde here in Atlanta, she literally, we've been rocking with each other for 7 years. She was one of my first clients and literally we've built her portfolio till now. She's like, okay, I'm ready to go to Vegas, which means she's ready to play in stocks and bonds. She's like, I'm ready to gamble. So I'm like, what? You're ready? Cause she's just a safe person or whatever. So I have her in a Roth IRA. She has a pension from this school. She also has several high yield savings accounts. We also have her in an annuity. And now that she had two, she's in an IUL and she had a whole life policy. And I'm just like, you really don't need that whole life policy. Let's reallocate that money. And literally we was on a call last night for about an hour. And I was taught, as we were talking, I wanted to say, I wanted to ask her and I just felt compelled to ask her. I was like, Ms. Yarde, if you weren't making this kind of money, do you think you would be able to save? And would you be able to open a Roth and do all the things that we're doing? And she was like, she stopped and she was like, yes, because I always say I can only live on 80% of my income. That's it. She said 20%, 10% comes to me and 10% should go to you first. Somebody in Manassas had to correct me on that. She was like, 10% shouldn't go somewhere for you should pay your, you are first or whatever. So pay yourself first, save your 10%. And then that other 10% tithes or however you want to distribute it as far as giving charities, whatever you like to do or whatever, as far as that goes, then that goes there. But she was like, I only live on 80% of my income. So I've always had that mindset. I may have not had as much money saved now as I would then. I wouldn't have as much money saved now if I wasn't making a lot of money, but I still would have money saved. That's basically what she was trying to tell me. And I thought that was so, that's discipline, that's consistency.
Yeah.
But let's get back to the fact that, so I wanted to throw that in there for anyone that just thinks, oh, these high numbers and, oh, they got 400,000 and this and that, and I only have 100,000 or I only have whatever you have. We meet you where you are and we can help you grow this money. I've also told you guys before, the 60-year-old, he only made $68,000 throughout his entire career. But because he was in real estate and, you know, that kind of didn't work out. I had almost 14 houses. And some crazy things happened when 2008, the flips and turns of 2008, that bankrupt him, but he got himself on a strict, consistent savings situation. And now he's a millionaire. So you have to have the consistency. It's about consistency.
Yeah.
So, and it's about, you know, making sure that you do that. But because you are in your 50s, your maximum contribution limit for 2026 is on $8,600. Which includes your $1,100 catch-up contribution. Here's how to navigate the steps smoothly. So make a non-deductible contribution. So open a standard traditional IRA and deposit your cash. You must treat this as a non-deductible contribution, meaning you will not take a tax deduction for putting the money in. Second, convert the funds immediately. As soon as the cash clears in your traditional IRA, request a conversion to your Roth IRA. Doing this quickly prevents the money from earning interest or growing, keeping the conversion completely tax neutral. Then you file Form 8606. When you file your tax return, make sure you include IRS Form 8606. This tracks your after-tax basis so the government knows you already paid taxes on that money and doesn't try to tax you twice. So basically, those are the steps. Now, I can go through a little bit more, but I can save that. I'm going to save that for when we meet.
Excellent. Well, I'll tell you what, a great, great answer to that question. And I'm glad you went through it and explained it to us, because Roth conversions and backdoor Roths are a very popular topic of conversation for many reasons right now. And they can be a great tool. But again, depends on your situation, and you need to work with a trusted professional, right?
Absolutely, Tony. You hit it on the head.
All right. Well, before we go, is there anything else you want to add for our listeners? I know you are offering a no charge, no obligation consultation. How can our listeners get a hold of you?
So you've spent 30 years working hard, saving consistently and doing all the right things. But if you're still checking your accounts every time the market dips or wondering if Washington's latest move is going to shrink your nest egg, you don't have a retirement plan. You have a retirement hope. And hope is not a strategy for your future. I want to move you from uncertainty to total clarity. So for the next 10 callers, I'm opening up my calendar for a custom Prosperity Playbook financial review. So what we'll talk about is basically I'll provide you with the blueprints for your prosperity. You'll meet with me personally to walk through these documents and talk through where you are and see if our strategies are the right fit for your unique life. I want to get you to a place from stop hoping to start knowing. If you want to be one of the 10 people to get this customized blueprint at no cost and no obligation, Tony, tell them how they can get in contact with us.
You bet, Nicole. And listeners, you got to pick up the phone, give Nicole a call. You can call 888-919-0024. That's 888-919-0024. Or just go to prosperityplaybookradio.com. And there's a form right on. You just scroll down, set an appointment. You can get right on Nicole's calendar. I think that's the best way to contact Nicole at prosperityplaybookradio.com. And Nicole, great show today. Listeners, thanks for tuning in, listeners. That does it for today's episode of Prosperity Playbook Radio with our host, Nicole Gibbs.
Thanks, Tony.
During this show, Nicole Gibbs provides general information, not individually targeted personalized advice, and is not liable for the usage of information discussed. Exposure to ideas and products or services should not be considered investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell any of these financial vehicles. This information should also not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with professionals specializing in the fields of tax, legal, accounting, or investments regarding the applicability of this information for their situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Investments will fluctuate, and when redeemed, may be worth more or less than when originally invested. Any comments regarding safe and secure investments and guaranteed guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory services. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims paying ability of the issuing company and are offered through Ross Dixon. By contacting Ross Dixon, you may be provided information regarding the purchase of insurance products.